Well, the gospel is the corresponding text, in a way, to the Old Testament lesson. It's a nice pairing, of course, because we have Luke 2:22-40. It's the presentation of Jesus in the temple, and Simeon and Anna, and of course the occasion is the fulfilling of the command in Exodus 13. So, it's a fairly long reading, and I thought I would sort of prime the pump, if you will. I think you could, if you were going to preach this, you could really work sort of two themes. One would be the theme of God's faithfulness, of keeping promises made long ago. I think that comes up even from the opening phrase of when the days were fulfilled. But just the whole emphasis of according to the law of Moses, and then the promise to Simeon, you know, that he would not die before he saw the anointed of the Lord. The other theme is another good Christmas theme. It struck me for a long time that when the angel says to the shepherds, "This will be a sign for you," then he lets them down. "You'll find a baby." Wow, what a great sign. Now, the only unusual thing about the baby is that he's in a feeding trough, but maybe in those days that wasn't all that unusual. So Simeon takes this child and declares that Israel's been redeemed. I mean, this is it, but it sure doesn't look like it. So I think you can actually work those two themes, and they kind of occur over and over again in the reading. And it's such a long one that I thought I'd sort of prime the pump before we start reading Greek. So, but let's do that just to fulfill at least some righteousness. So we pick up at verse 22. The circumcision of Christ is not part of the appointed reading, of course, but here for the first Sunday after Christmas. So verse 22, "And when the days of their cleansing were fulfilled," that's pretty straightforward. The one thing that might be difficult is the verb epleistheson. If you don't know what this is from, you have no way of guessing. So I'll just tell you, it's from pimplemi. This is not just a strong sixth principle part. This is a very strong sixth principle part, and it means to fulfill. Why St. Luke couldn't have used plero the way Matthew does in a decent fashion, I don't know. "But when the days of their cleansing were fulfilled according to the law of Moses, they," Joseph and Mary, they onagoed, they brought up him into Jerusalem, parastasi, to present to the Lord. Now we have the reference to Exodus. "Kathos gegraptai and namo kirio, as it stands written in the Lord's law," quote, "every male, di an oigon," take that present participle as in attributive position, "every male which opens the mother," excuse me, the womb, same deal, since, as Dr. Hanif said, guys don't have wombs, "will be called," pick up the verb toward the end of the clause there, "holy to the Lord." And now we pick up a second infinitive, and maybe St. Luke has given us the two there to let us know, maybe to go all the way back to parastasi. So to present to the Lord and to give sacrifice according to the having been said thing in the law of the Lord. Now, a zugos is a yoke or a pair, and it's actually a neuter noun, so this is actually accusative singular, which matches up with the accusative on the other side of the conjunction or. So it's sort of like bring zugos, ta zugos, excuse me, a pair of turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree, or two offsprings of pigeons. That's what you can bring if you don't have a lot of money. Verse 25. So you could preach just on that much, actually, and then you could really bring in the Exodus theology. I mean, and that might be a good way to go, because it is a long text and it's so rich. But the appointed lesson goes on, so we'll dutifully press ahead. "And look, there was a man in Jerusalem to whom the name Simeon," yesterday, that in the late Second Temple period and on into the first or second Christian centuries, the most common Jewish name attested is Simon. So there's your second temple trivia for the day. So don't say you didn't learn anything at lectionary at lunch. To whom the name Simon, and this man, ha anthropos houtas, now you have to supply the verb, was righteous and godly. The participle prostechomenos, is it just another adjective? And who was expecting? That's, you could take it that way. And maybe that's the easiest. Who was waiting for the parakleisen to Israel, the consolation of Israel. Nice objective genitive there. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was ep auton upon him. And ein auto ke krematismenon. Krematizo means to impart a revelation. So it had been revelationed to him. I can just go that way. By the Spirit, the Holy One. And what had been revelationed? Not to see death. From this, people usually infer that Simeon is old. Right? But it's the only part of the text that actually might support that. Not to see death, prin a on, before he might see the Christ of the anointed of the Lord. So there's the promissory theme again. And he, Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple. Now we have en to plus the infinitive, not that common in the New Testament, but normally with a temporal sense, while. And while his parents, although actually it's the aorist infinitive here of aesago, so maybe after his parents led the child Jesus in, so as poiesai, so that they might do, autus there is the subject of the infinitive, according to the accustomed thing of the law about him. And he himself, Simeon, received it. I mean, it's auto because it's a neuter child, and Greek is grammatically neuter, a paideon. He grabbed it into the arms, and he blessed God and said, lay more. Now you are dismissing your servant, despot, Lord. There's that gracious omnipotence theme, actually, that Dr. Adams mentioned. Now, it's interesting, Arthur Just, I was looking at his Luke commentary, he suggests that apoluo here might be better rendered set free, not just dismissing. And I thought that kind of coheres pretty well with the consolation of Israel theme and the redemption of Israel that we'll see with the Anna incident. So it does mean that you have to sing the Nunc Dimittis differently. Lord, now thou liberatest thy servant, or something like that. But I think that's not a bad way to go. And now you are setting free your servant, Lord, according to your word, and you're setting your servant free in relation to peace. Big Lucan word. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Right? Because my eyes saw your salvation, which, here's the promise fulfilled again, he toimasas, from het toimazo, you prepared according to the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles, Gentiles here in this first line, as opposed to, and glory of your people Israel. Again, it's a little over the top. I mean, it's just a baby, and nothing has changed. And so that would be another theme, you know, that is really preachable, and of course it's readily applicable to God's promise today in a difficult world, and to the means of grace, which are promises kept, but they sure don't look like it to the naked eye, to the unbelieving eye. So Simeon finishes his speech. Now verse 33, the second word in, of course, is the imperfect of Amen. And I'm going to reach six words down and pick up thalmazontes, and I'm going to make that a periphrastic construction. So the linking verb plus the participle. And the father of him and the mother were marveling. So we'll take those together. Epi plus the dative, at the having been laleoed things about him. the things spoken about him. And Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the mother of him, "Look, this one is appointed, is set unto the falling and the rising of many. He is set in Israel for the falling and the rising of many, and for a sign to be spoken against." There's that ambiguous nature of the sign again, right? Now, the grammar here, you can see the dashes in Nestle Aland, or probably in UBS as well, that surround verse 35. It's because it doesn't seem to make much sense to take verse 35 as the immediate main statement for which 36 is the purpose. So let's just go ahead and follow that punctuation. So for a sign to be spoken against, parenthesis, and of you yourself the soul, a hromphia, a sword, will go through. And this is traditionally taken, of course, as Simeon's, what shall we say, warning or prophecy that that Mary, in a unique way as the mother of Christ, will experience sorrow and suffering. Notice the intensifying outtaste there at the beginning of the verse. Looks a little awkward, at least to me. But it's your, Mary, your psuche, but your is intensified by outtaste. The soul of you yourself, if you will. And so again, promises kept, but promises kept in an odd sort of way. It's very reassuring, isn't it? We don't get our theology of the cross from any place other than the Bible. And it's actually there all over the place. Right? Now we get Anna and similar themes. And there was Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel. Maybe the student association could make a motion that the next male child to be born on this campus could be called Phanuel. I mean, there's a lot of babies born around here. So, of the tribe of Asher. This one, haute, and we're going to have to supply a verb in here. It's difficult, but we're going to supply a form of ame to go with the participle. This one had been really advanced in many days. She was an oldie. Zesasa, after she had lived with a husband 7 years from her partheneas, from her virginity. And this one, now we have to supply another verb, was a chera, a widow, until years 84. So she apparently was married for some time, short time, and then has been a widow for a long time. Which, that little word at the end of the line, hey, is a relative pronoun. It's feminine singular nominative, and the antecedent is Anna. Which did not go away from the aorist middle from aphisteme, who did not go away from the temple. Now go four words down, la triusa, as she worshipped by means of two dative nouns, with fastings and prayers, and how long? The accusative of the extent of time, by for nights and day. I mean, she did it day and night, right? Remember, of course, that the temple's a big place. Don't think of your local congregational building where she'd have to be using the bathroom and hanging out in the narthex. I mean, this is the second temple of Herod the Great. So there's all kinds of rooms, and you know, they probably have Burger King and stuff like that. So. And dative of time when? At that very hour, aute te hora, drawing near, ephistos, this is from ephisteme, after she had drawn near, she began praising God. There's an imperfect there from antamalageomai. She began praising God, and she began speaking, elale, concerning him to all those who were expecting the redemption of Israel, which was foreshadowed in typological fashion in Exodus chapter 13. Okay. So again, there's a lot of theology here. You could take a part of the text, you could take just one of the concepts, so that it would be hard to go wrong in a sense. It's probably actually, maybe I'll just say this, it's probably not an evangelism text. You know, I mean, I can see how you could take that last verse and sort of somehow make it into an evangelism text. But, of course, the way to do evangelism, or to get people to do evangelism, is not to exhort them to do it necessarily. It's to fill them with such good news that they can't shut up. And that's harder to do, but I think that's not a bad way to go. So, and it's probably a good time to stop. And thank you very much.